Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today I would like to speak to you about the response of faith to the saving work of Christ. Now, in order to begin, let's begin at the beginning of our gospel lesson. And we have a travel itinerary. It says, "It came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." Now, whenever you are being told where Jesus is on his way to, where he was, and where he is now, you are not being clued in on an accidental transpiring of events, but you are seeing the divine plan of God in Christ for the salvation of sinners being worked out in great detail. There are no accidents in the grace of God. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem because there he will give his life, shed his blood, and die for the redemption of all sinners. On his way to Jerusalem, he passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee in order to be exactly there when those 10 men who are lepers are there as well. This is not like, oops, look at that, Jesus is here. Jesus met them by divine appointment. It was their hour, and it was his hour. And what we are being shown here, and it's important for us to know, everything that Jesus does, he does to bring forgiveness, restoration, salvation, and eternal life to people who don't deserve it. Now, one more thing that we have to contend with in our story. So, you get the idea. Jesus is in this little village precisely to set these lepers free from their leprosy. It's not an accident. It's not an oops event. All right? Secondly, we have to remember that two things happened to you when you were a leper. Number one, you are afflicted with a grievous and disgusting disease. All right? You are afflicted with a grievous and disgusting disease. But secondarily, you were excluded from society. You were unable to draw near to anybody for fear that you would infect them with your leprosy, and so you were a societal outcast. No one was to hug you, touch you, draw near to you. If you had to come into town for any reason, you had to cover your face and cry out, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," everywhere you went, so no one would come near you. And nobody did come near you. All right? They stood afar off. So you see two things: a vile and disgusting disease, and then being social outcasts, kind of like being among the living dead. So when the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses the leper, it is meant to be for us a picture of the forgiveness of our sins and of our being received into fellowship with God and fellowship with the people of God. And so the miracle that Jesus does is meant to show us the forgiveness of sins and fellowship with God through Christ Jesus. Right? Now, that we know this, we have a proper Jesus-centered focus on this text. You know, because most of the time, this text is used to preach, you got to be thankful. Right? This is a Thanksgiving text. Got to be thankful. Right? You can't have all the material blessings that you have in this world and be so gauche as to not be thankful for it. But really, what this passage is actually talking about is Jesus and proper faith in Jesus. So, having said that, let's look a little bit further. Now, it says that these lepers, they lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So it looks as if they are believers. Because why else would they risk coming into town and asking for something unless they believed that Jesus could and would be of help to them? So, taking a risk, they come and they cry out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the response of our Lord Jesus is, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, this response of Jesus is both an invitation to faith and it is the beginning of their reincorporation into society. Because you could be a leper and you could wake up one morning and you could be as clean as the driven snow. But unless a priest gives you a certificate of cleansing, you are still among the living dead and not allowed back into society. So when Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, he's saying, in effect, go and get your certificate of cleansing. All right? Now, what he's saying, they're still lepers. They're standing there all, whatever it is lepers looked like. Right? They're still in the grip of their leprosy. But Jesus tells them that they should go and get their certificate of cleansing. They believe him and they go. With leprosy all over themselves, they believe him and they go. And presently, they're cleansed. They're walking along all leprous and disgusting. And all of a sudden, in a moment of time, they are as pure and clean as if they never even had a pimple. All right? And one of them looks down and sees himself and he begins to glorify God. And he turns himself around and he runs back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He falls on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. All right. Now notice, all 10 of them were cleansed. One of them returns to Jesus. What's going on here? the nine, they are so wrapped up in the temporal, earthly consequences of their healing that all they can think about is that certificate of cleansing. Their restoration into society means more to them than God, means more to them than Jesus. They are lepers, they are now cleansed, and they want the one earthly thing that they need, and that is their focus. You say, but Pastor, didn't they confess faith in Jesus just a few minutes earlier? Weren't these people who have faith? Well, I don't know about you, but my faith is not perfect. You know, there are times when I can preach it real good, but living it and acting faithfully upon it, not so much. You know, we all of our faith, it ebbs and flows. Right? Sometimes we're strong and assured and our priorities are straight. But sometimes even believers can get their priorities completely out of whack. And so people, they develop earthly concerns that they allow to drown out their heavenly concerns. And that's what's going on with the nine. Were they in unbelief? Yeah. Were they in spiritual danger? Yeah. And we'll hear more about that in a minute. But every one of us needs to pay attention here that in Jesus Christ, we have received a bounty of mercy, grace, and help. We are saved. We already know we're going to heaven, even though we are fallible. We know that we're going to heaven because Jesus has opened the gate of heaven to us. We know that we are saved, not because of our works, but because of Jesus' works. We know that we have everlasting life, not because we deserve it, but because Jesus gives it to us as a free gift, a gift of mercy, a gift of grace, and a gift of life from God. Therefore, every Christian who knows this is to give praise and thanks and acknowledgement to these things. Thanksgiving is the proper response of faith. Every time that you obey the Word of God, let's say that on a Sunday morning when you don't really feel like coming to church, you remember the commandment, the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, and you remember that Luther told us that we should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And we go like this. We go, and we get in the car, and we go to church. Even though our first thought was, I've been to church a lot lately. I think I'll take off for the day. All right. So, but whenever you overcome that temptation to violate the commandment of God, you are, by that obedience, saying thank you to Jesus Christ for saving your soul. And when you give in to temptation, when you say, yeah, I've been to church more than so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and you say, I'm staying home, and I'm going to make some hors d'oeuvres in preparation for the football game today. Right? I've been to church a lot. And so you stay home, right? And when you do that, you're saying to Jesus and His holy cross and His blood, meh, Right? That's what you're doing. All right? We all have to admit it. When we respond with obedience to the Word of God, we are really merely saying thank you to God for salvation. But when we give in to temptation and sin, we are looking in the face of Jesus and saying, meh. That's it. So, this one guy, when he sees that he is cleansed, he immediately understands that God has manifested himself in the person and work of Jesus, and that Jesus is God's giver of life everlasting, including this man's healing. And so there is but one thought in this man's mind. He says, certificate, schmertificate. And he turns around saying hallelujah, and he goes back to Jesus, throws himself down at his feet, and says, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Right? The other nine, Gotta get my certificate. I've gotta get what will give me earthly advantage, even if it means that I will not attend Bible study, even if it means that I will not go to church, even if it means that my priorities will get all out of whack and my spiritual life will suffer. I gotta get what gives me earthly advantage. And that's what these nine guys were doing. They were putting the world first and forgetting all about Jesus. So this guy is laying there at the feet of Jesus. And you know, you always kind of wonder when you're reading this, what's Jesus doing with this guy laying at his feet yowling, you know? I mean, it must have been a little bit embarrassing, you know, to have this guy down there grabbing hold of your feet and going, thank you, thank you, thank you. But, you know, Jesus always knows that he is God manifest in the flesh. He always knows that he is the one Savior of the world. And as Jesus looked down upon this guy, he saw a child of God exercising faith in the form of praise and thanksgiving. So, and it says at the end of verse 16, and he was a Samaritan, which means he was the last guy you'd expect to do this. And you know, that's the way it is in the world of Christian religion. The people that you would think would be the greatest candidates for being Christians don't ever become Christians. And the people that you least expect to become Christians, they become Christians. The people who you expect to get it don't. And the people that you least expect to get it do. And that's the way it is in the things of faith. Because it's not the wisdom of man, it's not the power of man, or the glory of man that results in salvation and illumination. But it is purely the grace of God. And so the grace of God showed itself in the least likely guy, the Samaritan. And what this means was the nine other guys were Jews. This guy's a Samaritan. So the other nine, they have their little subset of people where they go, you know, we're a bunch of stinking lepers, but at least we're not Samaritans, as they look over at that guy. Yeah. At least we're not that guy who's a leper and a Samaritan. But they are filled with the world, and he is filled with Jesus. And he, the least likely guy, he goes and falls at Jesus' feet to show us that it's not the privilege of man and the power of man and the glory of man, but the grace of God in Christ Jesus which makes all the difference. All right, now, we can come. We're around that third corner and we're heading to the finish line. All right? So Jesus answers and says, weren't there 10 people cleansed? Where are the 9? So Jesus is critical. I wanted to say annoyed, but I don't think Jesus got annoyed. Annoyed is a kind of a peevish, sinful trait. Jesus didn't get annoyed. But Jesus, he is critical of the 9. He said, weren't there 10? Where are the 9? And the answer, of course, is they're not here. They've got other concerns. And it's not you, Jesus. All right? Where are the 9? And then he says, there are not found that return to give glory to God except this foreigner. All right? So Jesus, in modern parlance, I'll give you a modern phrase that I heard it about 6 months ago and I've loved it ever since. Jesus throws shade on the 9. You ever heard that phrase? Throwing shade. Jesus throws shade on the 9. Alright? And then he says, so there's none of them came back to give glory to God except this foreigner, this stranger, this foreigner. And then he says to the Samaritan, he says to him, get up and go. Your faith has saved you. Right? Your faith has saved you. So what Jesus does is he gives this man an absolution. Just like at the beginning of the service when I told you your sins are forgiven, he gives this man an absolution and he sends him away with a benediction. That's a religious way of saying a good word. Benedictus, good word. All right? He sends him away with a good word, a blessing. Jesus commends this man's faith, which showed itself in a thankful heart. And so it is that we are to see in this text today the magnificent salvation of Jesus, which has been freely bestowed upon us. And we also see what it means to fall from that faith in Christ and what it means to have a true faith which bears fruit in a thankful heart and the good works that proceed from a thankful heart. Amen.